So I have this picture of the church, the early church together, and I know that they, you know, listened and grew under the apostles' teaching and whatnot, but I imagine there were times where they shared just what was going on in their journey together. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to share a little bit about where we have been journeying as a house church. So there are a couple slides here. So submerging, we started this posture, what we like to call postures, a posture of living, imagine postures of Jesus' life, ways that he lived, the kind of posture his life took on. And so we'd realized about a year and a half ago that we had spent a good amount of time listening as a community. Terry had led us through a lot of listening exercises, and we had done quite a bit of actual listening to ourselves and listening as a community. So about a year and a half ago, I felt like it was a good time for us to kind of go into what we call submerging, a place where we can go deeper together, individually, corporately, and so I'm going to talk through this a little bit of kind of what we were going through during that time. There's basically five different areas that we've tried to tackle. And some of them, if you see on the right-hand side, it says spiritual discipline of meditation and the Bible genre, the Gospels. These are kind of things that we were working into our lives to create in us a way of being, a way of engaging in spiritual disciplines. The Bible genre that we're reading, the Gospels, Bible reading is a discipline. I don't want to act like it's not a discipline, it's this other thing that we do. It is just one of the many spiritual practices and spiritual disciplines. But we like to focus on different kinds of, or different parts of the Bible that kind of go along with the overall theme or posture that we are entering into. So after a long time of listening, we entered into what we call submerging. And so if you look there, meditation. Why did we practice meditation? Well, meditation is something that runs counter to our busy culture, where speed reading, first impressions, and skimming are often as deep as we go. In meditation, we look at something long and longingly. If you read the news like I do on my phone, I read a lot of news articles every day, and I skim them very quickly. And I'm kind of in and out of an article, I want to get the gist, and I want to move on. Meditation is just about the opposite of that. Sitting with something, letting it soak into your being. And the Bible genre that we were reading for those months last year, probably April till December, were the Gospels. And that's because our greatest example of submerging is Emmanuel, God with us. So we were reading some of the Gospels as part of a submerging, looking at Jesus and seeing how he submerged into life. He's the ultimate God with us, God Emmanuel, God become flesh, the ultimate example of submerging. And so really looking and tracking his life, and how can we model our life after his life. And then while we were practicing those things, we also focus on three different areas of growth: communion, community, and mission. So really growing deeper in our communion with God, our community together, and living our life out on mission. So during the submerging posture, we really focused on we are the beloved of God, which is really the foundation of everything we do. We have to understand that we are the beloved of God, and it's out of that belovedness and acceptance of God that we live our daily life. In community, we really took a look at the stages of community and what does it mean to move towards a deeper community. Depending on who you read, there are either five or six stages of community, but these casual, pseudo-community, chaos, catharsis, and deep community are what we used to kind of evaluate how are we doing as a community and where are we in that process. And it's not that deep community is one thing you get to and you're forever there. It's kind of a cyclical, ever-deepening cycle of going through these stages with one another. There are constant places where we can go back to pseudo-community, where we come to chaos or conflict. We can either enter in and go deeper with one another, or we can hit conflict and resurface and kind of go back to pseudo-community. So really, it was a journey towards deeper community. And then in our mission, we really looked at what is the gospel and moving towards a shared mission. So a lot of our time towards mission was just seeking God and asking, those two things. What is the good news that we want to share in the world, and what kind of mission do you have for us corporately to be walking into? So then at the beginning of this year, we moved into what we like to call the inviting posture. Next slide, thank you. And there, the spiritual disciplines we looked at were silence and hospitality. Silence, really, to kind of break out of our norms of culture. The desire in silence is to free yourself from the addiction to and distraction of noise so that you can be totally present to God. And hospitality, really creating a safe, open space where a friend or stranger can enter and experience the welcoming spirit of Christ in another. So that spirit of, number one, us being deep in Christ again, and also that practice of hospitality, opening our lives and our homes to others. The Bible genre that we went through was Acts, and we were reading the Acts as a narrative, and how Luke really records how believers were empowered by the Holy Spirit, how they spread the gospel, and kind of their model for future church. They weren't the model, they were a model. The things they did for us were a way of entering in and being the people of God together. And so really reading it as it was written, as narrative, as story of what was going on in the early church. And so we tried to enter in that same kind of spirit. And then during that time in communion, community, and mission again, asking in communion, God must do something in us before he can do something through us. That whole idea of our doing flows out of being. Who we are determines how we live. So being deep in Christ and then allowing him to live and work through us. In community, we really explored what it means to invite one another into deeper relationship and to create a rhythm of life together. I won't say we excelled at these things, but that was the heart, right? How do we not just get together once a week, but how do we start to form some kind of rhythm of life together, more than just an occasional weekly meeting? And then the last thing with mission, what does it mean for us to be inviting? What does it mean to be tasty people in the world, right? I mean, the world is constantly tasting. I wouldn't say they always like what they taste, but they're constantly trying. And as they meet us, as they engage with us, so what does it mean to be the inviting people of God? And then also under mission, as we engage in our common mission, we will have opportunities to extend invitation into life together, as well as God's invitation to fully participate in this kingdom life. So really those two themes of kind of going deep in God and our spiritual formation, and then how do we live that out in the world, has kind of been our theme over the last couple of years. And one of the things, as we've been praying, I'm going to ask Joseph to come on up. And while he's coming up, that common mission became very clear to us, and God began to speak to us about what he had for us to do corporately as a house church. And Joseph's going to share about that.
I have to bring it closer so I can see my phone. It's really inconvenient when you start to view every person as a human being loved by God and created in his image. What I mean by inconvenient is that it takes away the capacity for you to judge someone. It takes away the ability to start seeing those people as the other because they look different from you, because they speak another language from you, or for whatever reason. Now, this is something that I am, of course, not perfect at, even though I am actually better than everyone else I meet. But it is something that I've tried in my heart to realize when I've interacted with other people. And when somebody starts to bother me, or somebody starts to annoy me, or I form that prejudgment of someone, I like to look back inside myself and think, this person is a human being created and loved by God, and it takes away that longing to judge. And so it's actually started helping me want to see everybody's story, okay? And when you start to hear people's stories, you realize everybody has a story. Everybody has been brought to this place in a different way, and everybody's story is important. Now, I think this ties well to that story of Ruth and Naomi and Boaz that we heard a little bit ago, because Ruth and Naomi were refugees. Ruth and Naomi were strangers in the land. And Boaz could have looked at them and said, "These people don't belong here," and then just treat them like some other refugees from this famine. But instead, he chose to love them, to provide food for them and clothing for them. And in fact, he fell in love with Ruth and married her. And then later on, they had a descendant whom you might know, Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. And now I'm not saying that we should all go and marry refugees and that we should hopefully then have a descendant who becomes the earthly father of Jesus. I am, however, saying that it's important to start to view people, refugees specifically, immigrants, as human beings, not just as the other, as it's so easy to do. And this is something that's been going through my mind for a while, okay? About a year and a half ago, we were trying to find a way to serve our community, as Brian was saying. And through this process that I've been going through of trying to recognize the humanity and dignity in every person, it made me want to get involved with refugees and serve them. And our house church spent quite a bit of time, like 6 months, discerning and praying over how we were going to get involved in the community. And at the end of this discernment process, we all agreed that we were really interested in serving refugees. And so, as all good house churches do, they assigned me to go and find a way for us to do that. Okay? So, through my research, I stumbled upon an organization called Arrive Ministries. Arrive Ministries is an organization that partners small groups with refugee families. And what I really liked about Arrive Ministries was that their primary goal in doing this was not to help them get acclimated to American culture and help them get settled, though that's important. Their primary purpose was for these groups to love and walk alongside these refugee families and treat them as people, okay? And so I really liked that purpose, and that is, I think, our primary purpose as a house church, to befriend and love these people that we have the opportunity to interact with. And so we got connected with this family, which should be in my pictures here, okay? We met them at the airport. That's what this is, when they came from Thailand via Chicago. And you'll see here, let's see. Nope, go back. We've got the father, Klakle, mother, Myrna, their two boys, Sarmu So and Sepa Tu, and their little girl, Friday Pa, who you've heard singing back here a little bit, and she's about Elijah's age. And that was just kind of the first step. Now, we spent a lot of the early time kind of taking them to appointments. We went to their Social Security appointment. We went to their WIC appointment. We took them to their school enrollment appointment, all of those kinds of things, which was good. It provided us with the opportunity to spend some time with them and get to know them a little bit. But there's more to it than just taking them to appointments. And so we've done other activities with them as we've been partnering with them. For example, about a week after they arrived, we had a party at the Ward's house with them, which we can now go to the next slide. There we go. And I learned a couple things about our Karen friends. First of all, they're very competitive. Second of all, as Brian would call it, cornhole, as the rest of us probably know it, beanbag toss, is now one of their favorite games, and we've enjoyed playing with them. There's another picture of that if you want to put it up there. There you go, two boys playing. All right. So that was a lot of fun, getting to spend time with them apart from those appointments, getting to know them as individuals. Now, the language barrier has been difficult, but thankfully, God has provided for us some neighbors of theirs, particularly September. You want to stick your hand up there, September, so everyone can see it? All right. All right. September has been able to help us and interpret for us and has kind of become an extended part of our house church family through that. I would say, you guys agree with me? Okay, yeah, all right. So thank you, September, we really appreciate you. In addition, I've learned that it's not just me teaching them about American culture. I've learned a few things from them as well. For example, as you'll see, they've given many of us Karen clothing, all right? I'm not sure I'm even wearing it correctly, to be honest, but it was one of those things that they just, out of their generosity, they had no obligation to do it. They just chose, out of the depth of their friendship and their love, to do that for us. Now, these aren't cheap, okay? It was really a generous move, and we really appreciate that. That can teach us something about generosity. And then we've done many other things, and we've had a lot of opportunities to learn. One other thing that we've done, Rachel and I, a couple weeks ago, took them to Minnehaha Falls to spend some time, and we've got a picture of that. There it is. And I learned two more things about our Karen friends. First of all, Myrna was not impressed with Minnehaha Falls. Apparently, they have better waterfalls where she comes from, so we'll have to try a little harder next time. Second of all, their idea of a snack is caramelized crunchy sardines, and I tried it, and I cannot say that I will be trying it again. But, you know, it's great. Elijah didn't like it either. Let's see here. So we've done quite a few things with them. As I've said, we've spent a lot of time getting to know them, and I think that friendship has developed despite the language barrier. God's made that a really great thing. And we definitely will be continuing to do different things with them in the future. Did a Twins game last night. That was a lot of fun. But I think that really what I've learned through this, as you probably know, right now in our culture, there is fear of refugees, a pervasive fear of refugees, immigrants, people who speak other language, people who look different from ourselves. And we, as most of us are white Americans, like to think of ourselves as the saviors of the world. But there is a lot of opportunity for that mutual love, respect, and learning. And also, there is no room for fear. First of all, there's no reason really to fear refugees anyway, and I'm not going to get very political here, but there's not. Second of all, even if that fear remains, our love should be enough to drive out that fear. We should love more than fear. We're not called to a safe life. We're not called to be safe primarily. We're called to love. And I think that if you take a look at this, this speaks volumes about that. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Brian?
Thanks, Joseph. So, really quickly, we want to bring these two things together. I'm going to pass out a little card that I made, and this has been really helpful for me to think through my life. It's just basically a card that says across the top, live, work, and play. So, where do I live, work, and play? And how do I listen, submerge, and invite? How can we listen in our workplace, in our neighborhood, the places that we frequent, and just listen? God, what are you doing here? What are you busy doing? Whose life are you touching? Whose life are you connecting to mine? And where do I need to go deeper? And then you can ask, where can I submerge? Here, how do I submerge into this place? What does that look like? How do I submerge into life together with others in this place? And then finally, how do I invite them into my life, but also into this kingdom life that you've given us? So my wife is going to pass out cards. I made enough for everybody. So you can just take it and, I don't know, put it in your Bible, keep it in your car and on your bedside table, wherever. You don't have to fill it out. You can write on it if you want. It's really just to be thinking through, how am I listening, submerging, and inviting others into life in these areas that I'm a part of every day, every week, where I live, work, and play? How do I live this life out? And so, again, bringing together that deep life in Jesus and then that living that life out in the world.